الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, in our previous class we are reading in the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكر تأكده في الأموات, the chapter with regards to the emphasis of refraining from cursing and speaking ill about the dead. We have seen that a number of chapters have preceded clarifying the major sin of cursing individuals and making dua against them for the curse of Allah to be upon them, or for the anger of Allah to be upon them, or that they will never have mercy from Allah, or that they will be from the people of the hellfire, so on and so forth, or that Allah would disgrace them and punish them in the hellfire, so on and so forth. All of this had preceded in general, that this is not the way of a believer, this is not allowed, that he will curse the people and he will make dua against them. And the author, he also mentioned a chapter, rahimahullah, specifying the issue and the danger with regards to cursing a Muslim specifically. So it's not allowed in general. And likewise, even more specific, it's not allowed to curse a believer. But in the previous chapter that we were reading, the author, he is mentioning that it's even more emphasized with regards to the deceased. It's even more emphasized with regards to the deceased, to curse them and to speak ill of them and to speak bad about them after they had died. And the author, he mentioned the narration that is in Sahih Bukhari from the Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. Do not curse or speak ill or talk bad about the dead, because indeed they have reached that which they have presented, and they have reached that which they have put forth from their deeds. So that which they have from good deeds, they have reached that, and they will see that. And that which they have from foul and bad deeds, likewise, they have reached that. The deceased, the time for action and acting in this life finishes at the time of death. So at the time of death, they will see the deeds that they performed, and they will meet those actions, and they'll be well aware of that. So this is the case here, to not curse the dead and speak ill about them. And if they have good, then that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they have bad, then this is from what their hands have worked. This is from what their hands have worked. But we have seen likewise in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that two times a janazah, a funeral procession passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one time uthni alayha khayra, and in the second time uthni alayha sharra. That one time there was mentioning good praises about the first one, and then the second one that passed by, they mentioned bad about that one. They mentioned bad about that one, and they spoke ill about it. So the first time, the first funeral procession that passed by with the deceased, the companions, they praised that individual and said good words about that person. And the second one that came by, it was the opposite, a contrary to that, and they spoke ill of that person and spoke bad about him. So here it could seem that there may be some contradiction between the two evidences. But the people of knowledge have clarified that each one is in a specific circumstance, and there's no contradiction. And there is no contradiction from them who have clarified this and made the jama' and gathered between these narrations and clarified how they are understood and applied in different lights. And Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he mentioned about this affair, and nahyu an sab al amwati huwa fi ghayr al munafiqi wa sa'ir al kufar wa fi ghayri al mutadhahir bi fisqin aw bid'ah. He said, as for the prohibition of cursing the dead, speaking ill about them and talking bad about them, clarifying their faults or their mistakes and the likes like this. As for the prohibition of doing this with regards to the dead, then this is for those who are not hypocrites, for other than hypocrites and other than the rest of the disbelievers, and likewise other than those who had apparently been established upon corruption and disobedience or been established upon innovation. And so this is the exception here. So the believer who died and what is known is good about him, then this is where the prohibition is. It's not allowed to mention him in a foul manner whatsoever. Rather, what is legislated is to cover his faults and to seek repentance for him and to seek forgiveness for him and to ask Allah to have mercy on him. The believer that is known to be upright and what is apparent from him in his life that he was upon khair and upon Islam and establishing the sunnah, so on and so forth, far away from sin outwardly and far away from innovation and the likes like this. This is what is known about him, then it's not allowed to speak about him or to mention his faults or talk bad about him or to spread his mistakes and errors and the likes like this. As for the one who died and what was known from him that he was upon the way of the munafiqeen, from the hypocrites, or he was from the kuffar, or he was from those people who were openly sinning, or from those people who were established upon innovation, then the ruling is different. Then the ruling is different. This is what he's saying. فَأَمَّا هَؤُلَاءِ فَلَا يَحْرُمُ ذِكْرُهُمْ بِشَرٍ لِلتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْ طَلِيقَتِهِمْ وَمِنْ الْإِقْتِدَاءِ بِآثَارِهِمْ. As for these individuals here, it's not impermissible. It's not haram. It's not impermissible to mention the evil that they were upon in order to warn from their way. In order to warn from their way and to warn others from taking them as role models and following their path. And following their path. Again, this is the point, any that it's not impermissible for this circumstance or for this reason. And so again, a person, he would not just speak ill of the dead, not even those who are disbelievers, not even those who died from the disbelievers. He would not curse them and speak ill of them and speak bad about them for no reason, any for no purpose. This is also still not from the way of a believer. And he would not even say, may the curse of Allah be upon so-and-so. And he died upon disbelief and it's known. And it's already known that the one who died upon disbelief, then the curse of Allah is upon him. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So there's no need to mention this affair. And it's not from the way of a believer that his tongue will be used like this. Will be used like this. So if there's no need for that, if there's no purpose in mentioning the ill that they were upon, then he will not speak bad about them, even if they were disbelievers and the likes like this. But as for the case to warn from the way that they were upon, to warn from the falsehood that they were upon, and the likes like this, then now a person, he will mention the ills that they had. And especially with regards to those who maybe some people they're deceived by. And some people they're tricked by. Or they believe that they are upon a good way. It's like from the people in these lands that think that yani they died upon a good path. Like Martin Luther King or some of these other individuals who had some types of political or benefit for the society and the likes like that, but they died upon disbelief. But they died upon disbelief. And then a believer, he would not be deceived about that. The one who died upon other than out Islam, then he has nothing but the fire and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's cursed. So therefore, any for people to praise the likes of them, or to praise the likes, for example, of the one they call Fadl Muhammad, the one who was the leader of the nation of Islam, and the one who called to the worship of himself and claimed that he was Allah in person, and the likes like this. This is falsehood in an evil way. So a person, he wouldn't necessarily just speak ill about this individual for no reason, but if there are people who are still praising him, like today, there are still individuals who ascribe to Islam and claim that they follow the Sunnah, and they say, the Honorable Father Muhammad, like this. He's not honorable, he died upon disbelief. He died upon as a disbeliever, calling people to disbelieve. So there's nothing honorable about that. There's nothing honorable claiming that he is Allah in the flesh. There's nothing honorable about that, dying in that way. Whether this is the worst way to die, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to mention this in order to clarify the falsehood of this so that others will be warned by that. Likewise, the innovators as well. And the people who are dying upon the way of the Khawarij. And upon the way of the deviant sects and the likes like this, and the way of the innovators, like Qaradawi, who just died recently, to mention him in that manner so that the people will not be deceived by him. Because some people have thought that maybe he's a great scholar and so on and so forth, and he did great for Islam. But really, he had aided in the destruction of Islam. And he has statements that are found, and in positions that are evil and wicked that cause much trials and problems for the Muslims. Much trials and problems for the Muslims. So to mention these affairs to clarify for those who come after them, then they are not on a good way. Do not be deceived by them. Do not be tricked by them. Do not be deceived by what some people may say and the likes like this. In order to clarify that, then this is allowed. And rather, it could even become an obligation. So he said again, فَأَمَّا هَؤُلَاءِ فَلَا يَحْرُمُ ذِكْرُهُمْ بِشَرٍ لِلتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْ طَرِيقَتِهِمْ وَالْمِنَ اقْتِدَاءِ وَمِنَ الْاقْتِدَاءِ بِآثَارِهِمْ وَالتَّخَلُّقِ بِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ. As for these individuals here, and you're referring to someone who is a hypocrite, or someone who is a disbeliever, or someone who apparently is an outward sinner or an innovator, As for these individuals here, it's not impermissible to mention them in a bad light, yani in a bad way, to mention the ills that they were upon or the evils that they had, in order to warn from their way, in order to warn from taking them as role models, and also following their footsteps and taking on their manners and etiquettes, and their manners and etiquettes. So he says, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ مَحْمُولٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الَّذِي أَثْنَوْا عَلَيْهِ شَرًّا كَانَ مَشْهُورًا بِنِفَاقٍ أَوْ نَحْوِهِ مِمَّا ذَكَرْنَا. So he says, rahimahullah, as for this narration here, with regards to those who they mentioned bad about, any the janazah that passed by, and they mentioned bad about him, then this is understood that this individual, who he was well known for hypocrisy. He was well known in those days for hypocrisy, meaning the hypocrites amongst the believers in Medina, many of them were well known. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not harm them, or he did not warn from them, or he did not belittle them, or reprimand them in the likes like this, because of the wisdom. He did not kill them in the likes or expose them. Rather, he dealt with them as Muslims because they displayed that outwardly. But many of them, they were aware that they were true hypocrites. So Wallahu A'lam, he's mentioning here that this individual was from them, or from those who were in the manners of that which has been mentioned. He said, هَذَا هُوَ الصَّوَابُ فِي الْجَوَابِ عَنْهُ وَفِي الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّهِي عَنِ السَّبِّ. So this is the correct understanding and response to that question. Yani, how do we gather between these two affairs? And this is the manner to understand both of them, this narration and the narration with regards to the prohibition of cursing and speaking ill of the dead. So the origin is that a believer, his tongue is safe, and a believer's tongue is clean and pure from speaking ill about the people in general, believers and non-believers. He will not curse them. He will not make dua against them. He will not speak ill of them. He will not expose their faults. He will not speak bad about them. He will not backbite them. He will not carry tales about them. All of this is forbidden. All of this is forbidden. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions and circumstances whenever it could be an obligation to mention somebody in a bad light and to mention the ills of the people. There are certain circumstances when it's an obligation to mention that affair. And from them, this issue here, like he's mentioning, the author, rahimahullah, he's going to have a chapter about backbiting. And we discuss those details, those exceptions and those circumstances when it's allowed to mention ill about the people. Rather, whenever it could be an obligation to mention ill about the people. And this is again from those fine lines. And again, the origin is that one, he will not say anything bad about the people. Not in their face and not behind their back. Not in their face and not behind their back. Not even if it's true. Not even if it's true. Unless there's a benefit and a wisdom and a legislated reason for that. And a legislated reason for that. The origin is that a believer, he preserves his tongue. He checks his tongue. He thinks before he speaks. Even if it's truthful, is it beneficial for me to say it? Would it bring benefit if I mention these affairs? Even if it's verified that it's truthful and verified that it's correct, would it bring benefit if I mention them now? Is now the right time to say it? Or are these the people, the right ones to hear it? Is it right for me, for them to hear it from me? And so on and so forth. Because many times somebody, he may say a statement of truth in the wrong time or in the wrong manner, in the wrong situation, and it'll bring fitna because of that. It'll bring more harm because of that. So a believer, he is, from the traits of a noble believer, is that he thinks and recollects before he speaks. And he weighs out the circumstances and situations. And he looks ahead forward, what could possibly occur because of his statements. If it's good, he will say it. And if it's possible that it could bring harm, he will not say it. And if he's sure that it could bring harm, he certainly will not say it. So this is the case. Yani, again, in the author, he will mention some more evidences for the likes of these affairs. The reminder again is that the tongue is very dangerous. The tongue is something that Allah, He honored us with. He honored the human being with the tongue and the ability to express himself and to say that which is on his mind and in his heart and to share his emotions and his thoughts and the likes like this. And this is a great favor and a blessing, and it can be used in the most noble and best manner. And a believer, you can make a statement and reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reach the paradise, and he can bring much good in this life for himself and others, and much good for himself likewise in the hereafter. But on the other hand, if he's not careful, the tongue can destroy him. The tongue can destroy him and lead him to his destruction and cause him to fall into the hellfire on his face, waliyadu billah, and he can reap much evil in this life and the hereafter because of his tongue. Many times families have been separated because of the tongue, and communities have been divided because of the tongue, and friendships has been lost because of the tongue, and enmity has been established after love was in the hearts that was removed, and enmity was established because of the tongue, backbiting and carrying tales and spreading lies and spreading he said, she said, and so on and so forth, without recollecting and thinking about the repercussions that come from the statements that are transmitted. A true believer, the one who fears Allah Azza wa Jal, he knows that the words that he says are going to be in the scales that are weighed from his deeds. The Salaf, they used to say, the one who considers his statements to be from his actions, he will speak little. And this is a great point to realize for a believer in this life, that his statements and the words that he speaks, they're considered from his deeds. And from the deeds, that they're going to be weighed, even down to the ant's weight. And from the same deeds that are going to be weighed, and this, that he's going to be judged with, and that he's going to see in his scale on the day of resurrection from good and from bad, are the statements that he says. Sometimes people, they speak like it's nothing, and they act like it's nothing, and like the words, they just go in the air. Right? The words, they don't just go in the air, they go in the scales. The words, they go in the scales, and they're recorded in a person, he will see. He will see what he said, and he will be held accountable for that. So this is a very dangerous affair. So the author, he says, باب ذكري قولي يا عدو الله ويا فاسق ويا كافر ونحوه. The author, he mentioned now the chapter with regards to the mention of the statement of those who say, يا عدو الله, O enemy of Allah, O يا فاسق, O you wicked and sinner, O you wicked person and sinner, O ya kafir, O you disbeliever, and the likes of these words. And so this is with regards again to the ills of the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. That somebody, he will say to his Muslim brother, Ya adu Allah, O you're the enemy of Allah. You're the enemy of Allah. Or he will say to him, Ya fasiq, O you corrupt and wicked sinner. يعني the fasiq, يعني الخارج عن طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The one who is fasiq, he's the one who turned away in disobedience and disregarded the obedience of Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he's known for that. Oh yeah, kafir. Oh you disbeliever. يعني to speak like this, this is not proper. This is not allowed, especially with regards to dealing with the Muslims and dealing with the believers. So the author, he says, عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه مرفوعة لا يرمي رجل رجلا بالفسوق ولا يرميه بالكفر إلا ارتدت عليه إن لم يكن صاحبه كذلك رواه البخاري. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Dharr رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, no man will accuse another man of corruption and sin, and he opened disobedience, and nor will he accuse him of disbelief, except that statement will come back to him if that man was not like that. And you know, individual, he will call somebody by this name. He will, لَا يَرْمِهِ بِالْفُسُوكِ يعني لَا يَقُولُ لَهُ أَنْتَ فَاسِقٍ أو يَا فَاسِقٍ, like this. Oh, you sinner, oh, you wicked, evil person, oh, you disobedient person, you fasiq, like this. And he will not accuse him of fisk, and will not call him a fasiq. And وَلَا يَرْمِهِ بِالْكُفْرِ يعني لَا يَقُولُ لَهُ يَا كَافِرٍ أو أنت كافر, like this. Oh, you kafir, oh, you're a kafir, you're a disbeliever. Oh, he's a disbeliever. Oh, who a kafir, oh, who a fasiq, like this. He will not accuse another person in this manner, that he's a disbeliever, or that he's a wicked and disobedient sinner, like this, except that statement will return back to the one who said it, if it's not true. Meaning that if somebody calls someone a kafir, and that man, he's not a kafir, he's a Muslim, then it is as if he's calling himself a kafir, and he bears the sin of that. And the one who that sin goes on to, and the one who is blaming in reality his own self, it comes back onto him. If he called somebody a fasiq, a corrupt and evil person, and that person, he does not deserve that, and it's not true, it comes back to him. Similar like the la'na that had preceded in the previous in the previous class. Whenever a person, he curses somebody, the curse will go to the heavens and will not have a path. He will come back, he will not have a path. And it will go left and right. And if the person deserved it, then it will be upon him. And if he didn't deserve it, it goes back to the one who said it. So similar like this, the one who calls somebody a name and accuses them of something falsely, and they do not deserve it, the one who is making the accusation, he will bear that. He will bear the sin of that. And he is, in reality, he is only cursing and calling his own self by that name. By that name. So the author, he says, وَنْ سَمُرَى وَنْ سَمُرَى مَرْفُوعًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ سَمُرَى إِبْنْ جندب رضي الله عنه. He says لا تلعنوا بلعنة الله ولا بغضبه ولا بالنار. صححه الترمذي. صححه الترمذي. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Samurah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said لا تلعنوا بلعنة الله. Do not curse one another with the curse of Allah. And he do not say to one another لعنك الله أو عليه لعنة الله أو عليك لعنة الله, like this. Do not put the curse of Allah on each other. ولا غضبه, and do not curse one another likewise with the anger of Allah. And he do not say غضب الله عليه, غضب الله عليه, أو غضب الله عليه, like this. You do not say that to him. No, you will not say that to a believer. May the anger of Allah be upon you. May the curse of Allah be upon you. May the anger of Allah be upon you. He will not say neither one of these words. وَلَا بِالنَّارِ وَلَا بِالنَّارِ. Likewise, he will not put the curse on somebody with regards to the fire. So this has proceeded, but here's the evidence clarifying that. And what is intended by the prohibition of the la'na is any word that has the same meaning. And this is what he's speaking about here, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لَا تَلَعَنُوا بِلَعْنَةِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَلَعَنُوا بِغَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَلَعَنُوا بِالنَّارِ. That's the meaning of the narration. Do not curse one another with the curse of Allah. The curse of Allah meaning to ask Allah to take them far away from the mercy of Allah. Do not curse one another by asking Allah to be angry with him or for the anger of Allah to be upon him. Do not curse one another by making dua against the other one that Allah will disgrace him in the hellfire, or that Allah will never enter him into paradise, or that he will be in the hellfire and he will abide there, or that Allah will punish him in the hellfire, and the likes like this. All of this is included in the same meaning. All of this is included in the same meaning. And this narration here, which is in Tirmidhi, is the evidence for that. ولهما عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من دعا رجلا بالكفر أو قال عدو الله وليس كذلك إلا حار عليه إلا حار عليه. So the author now, he mentions also, it's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Dhar رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said من دعا رجلا بالكفر, whoever called a man by disbelief. And he said to him, Ya kafir, oh, huwa kafir. Whoever said to somebody, he's a disbeliever, or you're a disbeliever, like this. Aw qala adu Allah, yani ya adu Allah, oh, enemy of Allah, or he's the enemy of Allah, or she likewise. All of this is included. Walaysa kadhalika illa hara alayhi. And if it's not truly like that, except it will go back to him. Illa hara alayhi, yani raja'a ilayhi. إلا رجع عليه حارة يحور يعني رجع, except that it came back to him. بل ظن عليه يحور يعني لن يرجع, يعني في سورة الانشقاق, he thought that he would never يحور يعني يرجع يعني return back for the resurrection and he'll be brought back to life. So here حار عليه إلا حار عليه يعني رجع عليه. So the one who calls somebody like this and he's not like that, then that statement will come back to him. And he will be held accountable for that, and he will bear the sin of that. Doesn't mean that he himself will disbelieve. He himself will disbelieve, but he will bear the sin of that. And that a person, if he makes this statement unfalsely, then it comes back to him. So it's as if he's cursing his own self, or as if he's making dua against his own self, or if he's blaming his own self. In reality, this is what is taking place. So therefore, a believer, he will never hope to have the curse of Allah or the anger of Allah or the threat of the punishment of Allah or to be in the hellfire and the likes like this. So therefore he will be cautious with this affair and that which he accuses others with. And that which he accuses others with. After this the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي لَعْنِ الرَّجُلِ وَالِدَيْهِ بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي لَعْنِ الرَّجُلِ وَالِدَيْهِ. The chapter with regards to what has come from a man cursing his parents. A man cursing his parents. Likewise, a woman is included. Meaning the great sin of that. meaning a great sin of the great sin of that and the great threat with regards to that. And no doubt to curse the people, we have seen this is a foul way. We have seen that this is a foul way. It has been reported authentically from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا لعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. That a believer, he is not ta'an. A believer, a true believer, he's not ta'an. Meaning he's not always picking out the faults of others and mocking them and mimicking them and finding their errors and blaming them. وَلَا لَعَانِ He's not always cursing them and calling them and wishing bad upon them and making dua against them either. This is not the way of a believer. A believer, he's not like that. So a believer, if he sees the faults of others, he will not expose them and he will not blame them. Rather, he will go to that person and advise him face to face and hope good for him. Hope that he will clarify that fault or that defect, hoping that that person will benefit and with a good intention. He will not expose him. Rather, he will cover his fault. This is the way of a believer. This is the way of a Muslim. So he will not expose him. Rather, he will go to him. He definitely will not speak behind his back. This is from the meaning of that statement of al-Dhahhak ibn Makhlad, rahimahullah. He said, لا يكرو الناس بما يكرهون إلا سفلة من الناس. That no one mentions the people in a manner they dislike, any behind their back except for low lives. لا دين لهم. No, they have no religion. They have no deen. Because had they had deen, they would have hoped good for them. And had they had deen, they would have brought it to their face. They would have been brave. If they had a problem with that person's manners or his conduct or what he had fallen into or what he said or what he's doing, he would not go behind his back whenever he can't defend himself and talk to him and spread his faults like that. Rather, he would go to his face and he would advise him. He would go to his face with bravery and with deen and with religion and hoping for the reward from Allah to defend the religion of Allah and to establish that affair with ghirah properly, and likewise to give sincere advice. So he will not hide behind the person's back and speak ill of him like a low life and like a coward. This is not the way of a believer. His true and sincere faith will carry him to be more noble than that and to be more upright than that. So a believer, laysa bitta'an. Rather, he's contrary to that. He will cover their faults and he will advise them truthfully and sincerely. وَلَا بِاللَّعَانِ Also, he's not somebody who's cursing the people and calling them names and making dua against them. Rather, he's opposite of that. He'll be patient with them and he will make dua for them, especially if it's from his family members. If he sees them upon a bad way or falling into sin or falling into deficiency in their religion or the likes like this, then he will make dua for them, not against them. He will make dua for them, not against them. He will say, may Allah forgive them, may Allah guide them, may Allah have mercy on them, may Allah yahdihim, Allah yahamuk, Allah yakfiru, like this, may Allah guide him to repentance, and the likes like this. He will not make dua against them, not his family members especially, and not the believers as well. That's not the way of a Muslim. That's not the way of a Muslim. وَلَا بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيءِ And he's also not indecent and vulgar. Not in his speech and not in his actions. And he doesn't have a lowly tongue and the likes like this. So this is not the way of a believer. So that's in general, even more specific with a believer's own parents. He will never curse his parents. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So this is a major sin in a foul way. This is a major sin in a foul way, even if the parents were disbelievers. And even if they called and worked hard against a Muslim to disbelieve or to disobey Allah, to associate partners with Allah, the believer, he will never say anything ill to them. And he definitely will not curse them. And this has been mentioned directly in the Quran and the Book of Allah. وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا And if your parents strive against you, if your parents strive against you to make you associate partners with me, which you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them, but accompany them in this life in a good and noble manner. But accompany them in this life in a good and noble manner. So he will not obey them. But how will he not obey them? He will not obey them with honor and respect. And he would disobey his parents and the likes of these affairs with honor and respect. And he will never disrespect them, especially not curse them. So this is a major affair. So this is what the chapter is referring to now. And he to directly curse one's parents, or to be the reason for that, or even to be the reason for that. All of this is impermissible and not allowed. So the author, he says, and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma marfu'a, that it has been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like that's how it is here in this text, but in the text of the Bukhari and Muslim, it's Ibn Amr. The narrator is, and the text of Al-Bukhari and Muslim is Ibn Amr, and Allah knows best, not Ibn Umar. So there's a waw missing. There's a waw missing. An Ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma marfu'a. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أكبر الكبائر أن يلعن الرجل أن يلعن الرجل والديه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that from the greatest of the major sins is that a man, meaning a person, even a woman is included likewise, that a person will curse their parents. And he will say, may the curse of Allah be upon you. May the anger of Allah be upon you. May Allah disgrace you in the hellfire. All of those words that have preceded, which is included in the la'na, this is what is being discussed here. Or to call them names. Even in some of the words, min al-kibair shatmu al-rajuli walidayhi. Shatmu. Not la'an. Not to say may the curse of Allah be upon them, but to call them names. To call them bad names and to talk bad about them in their face. So all of this is included here. This is from the greatest of the major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned. Now, since this is something that any for the noble and even those people who have sound intellect, they will realize themselves that who would ever do that? Who would ever do the likes of that? Even some people that maybe they may be misguided. They may be misguided, but they know that this is not from the good way. This is not from the proper way that a child will curse and speak ill and call their own parents' names. And except for those who have gone and deviated in a major way. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the narration says, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يَلْعَنُ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ. So it was said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how could a man curse his own parents? How could a man curse his own parents? And he thought that this is something that is far off, that somebody would do that. But somebody, they do that. And that is a major sin. People, they do that. And that is a major sin. But even here, whenever it's considered something like, how could that even possibly happen? How could a man ever do that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلُ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ وَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ فَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ. That he will curse, a man will curse the father of a man, and so he will curse his father in return. Or he will curse, and here يَسُبُّ, and he will call him names. He will call that man's father names, so they will call his father names. And he will call them that man's mother's names, so that he will call his mother names, like this. In some wordings, it's like that. يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلُ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ. In other wordings, it has come, يَلْعَنُ أَبَى الرَّجُلُ فَيَلْعَنُ أَبَاهُ وَيَلْعَنُ أُمَّهُ فَيَلْعَنُ أُمَّهُ أَخْرَجَهُ. It's narrated by Bukhari the Muslim. So both of them are mentioned here, whether he made dua for the curse of Allah to be upon him, or he just simply called him names, calling him bad names. All of this is included in cursing and cursing the parents. So there's a great benefit here in this narration, and that is that the one who is a reason to bring about something, he has he's in the same position as the one who performed the action himself. The one who performed the action himself. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, again, من أكبر الكبائر أن يلعن الرجل والديه. From the greatest sins, from the greatest of the major sins, that a man, he will curse his parents. And in some wordings has come another narration, لعن الله من لعن والديه. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who cursed his parents. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who cursed his parents. Like this. So here, the person, he's not really cursing his parents himself. He said. They said, how could he curse his parents? He said, he will curse somebody else's parents, so they'll curse his parents. He called his dad names, so they called his dad names. He called his mom names, so they called his mom names. The point here now is that that person, he himself did not curse his own parents, but he was the reason. He performed the actions indeed that brought about the curse, that brought about that man. And to act in that manner, to curse his mother or to curse his father. So therefore, he's considered as doing that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered him doing that. Considered him from the greatest sins is that one will curse his own father. How would he do that? He didn't curse his own father. He'll curse somebody else and curse him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered him as he cursed his own father. So he has the sin of that. So he has the sin of that. So al-mutasabbib fi shay yunazzalu manzilat al-fa'il. يعني في الثواب والعقاب. The one who is the reason to bring about something, he will have the same status or rank, or be in the same level as the one who performed it with regards to the reward and the punishment. The people who make effort and they move in a manner to bring about good, and then good comes from them, alhamdulillah, they share in the reward of that, and in the benefit of that, and the good of that. And those who work evil, or they are the reason to bring about evil, and they entice and they rile up the people to work foul and evil ways, then they share in that. They share in that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ They share in that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ The author, he says, Rahimahullah, بَابُ النَّهِي عَنْ دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ بَابُ النَّهِي عَنْ دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ The chapter with regards to the prohibition of the call of al-jahiliyyah. The call of al-jahiliyyah. Al-jahiliyyah is from al-jahl. It's from al-jahl. What is referred to as the time before al-Islam. And likewise, everything that is contrary to al-Islam. Everything that is in contradiction to al-Islam. The time before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the time of al-jahiliyyah. Whenever misguidance had encompassed the lands. And the people were upon desires and whims and upon ignorance and not having any guidance from the revelation. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and removed all of that with the light of the revelation and the legislation about Islam and the guidance that was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are desires and there are whims and there's ignorance and foul customs and ways and traditions that are contrary to the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the coming of the Messenger, he removed all of that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of these foul and lowly ways and despicable ways of the people of the days of ignorance and the people of misguidance and the people of deviation and from working injustice and showing preference to individuals over others, any because of tribes or because of blood or because of favoritism or because of this or because of that. All of this is from the ways of Jahiliyyah, and they had many foul and lowly ways. From the worst of their ways is that they used to worship others besides Allah, and that they would not unite upon the following behind one leader and one ruler and the likes like this. There's a number of issues that they were upon. From that which is what the author is mentioning here, and in the prohibition of the call of al-jahiliyyah. So he says, وَلَمَّا قَالَ الْمُهَاجِرِي يَا لَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَقَالَ الْأَنصَارِي يَا لَالْأَنصَارِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَبِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ وَغَضِبَ لِذَلِكَ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا وَغَضِبَ لِذَلِكَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا So the author, he mentioned now the narration that whenever one of the individuals from the Muhajirin, he said, يَا لَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ يَا لَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ Like this, the lamb is here is لِلْإِسْتِغَاثَ يعني أَغِثُونِي سَعِدُونِي أُنصُرُونِي This is the meaning of يَا لَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ He's calling the muhajirun to come help me, to come aid me. There's somebody who is causing problem and trouble with me. Come help me against him. Like this. And the one who is from the Ansar, he did the same thing. But he called the Ansar يَا لَالْأَنصَارِ So the lamb here with the fatha on it, يَا لَا Lal Ansar. This one is has the meaning of al-istighatha. Yani aghithuni, unsuruni, sa'iduni. Help me, save me, come protect me, aid me. Like this. So this story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he heard them doing this, he said, is it the call of jahiliyyah that you are calling to and I'm amongst you right now? Yani the thing is, these terms here, the muhajirun and the ansar, these are legislative terms. These are legislative terms that are praiseworthy and mentioned in the Qur'an and mentioned in the Sunnah. A number of places in the Qur'an, Allah has mentioned these words here and mentioned those specific group of companions and praised them. Whether these terms are not mentioned in the Qur'an or in the Sunnah except in a praiseworthy manner. But here, the issue is being misused. It's mentioned that this narration has a story. That they were in a journey and coming from a battle, and that two of the youth, two young individuals, one from the Muhajirun and one from the Ansar, they had a falling out, they had a dispute, they started fighting, and whenever this happened, one of them he called out, "Oh Muhajirun," and the other one he called out, "Oh Ansar," like this. So when this one he's from the Muhajirun, so he's calling the Muhajirun, "Come help me." And this one is from the Ansar, so he's calling the Ansar, come help me. Like this. So in this time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard that, this is what he said, أَبِي دَعْوَ الْجَاهِرِيَّةِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ. The author, he says, وَغَضِبَ لِذَلِكَ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, are you calling to the call of al-jahiriyyah, and I'm amongst you? And then the author, he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became severely mad with regards to this. He became severely mad with regards to this. Here it's mentioned, this is in Bukhari. Wallahu a'lam, this is in Bukhari and Muslim. This narration is muttafaqun alayhi. So the issue now is not about these terms here. These terms are legislative terms. Al-muhajirun, wal-ansar. And that, for example, Abu Bakr kana min al-muhajirin. And Umar, Uthman, and Ali. And likewise, Ibn Mas'ud, and a number of them, radiallahu anhum, they're from the Muhajirun, and others, they're from the Ansar. And this is known, and this is a virtue for them. And they're the best of the companions. They're the best of the companions. As-sabiqun al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. And Allah, He mentioned them like this, the first and foremost. Radiallahu anhum, radu an. That Allah is pleased with them. That Allah is pleased with them, and they're pleased with Him. So there's definitely praiseworthy issues here. But the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry, because they're calling each one like calling their tribe. And he's from them, so he calls them. And he's from them, so he calls them. Without looking at who is correct and who is wrong. And this is something that was definitely from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. That they were upon tribalism. And that a person, he would aid his tribe regardless of whether the person was wrong or right. He would defend his tribesmen and his family members, whether he's right or wrong. If he got into a dispute, if he's right, they'll defend him and aid him, and they'll go to war for him, literally, and they'll fight for him and defend him. And if he's wrong, they'll do the same thing. If he's wrong, they'll do the same thing. They didn't have laws and limits that they would look at. They would just look at, he's from my people, and you're from his people, then they would get at each other like this. And they would base it upon that. He's not from my tribe, you have a problem, I'm going to aid him regardless if he's right or wrong. So this is from the affairs of Jahiliyyah. At Islam, remove that. And Islam removed that entirely. And Islam, it came with restrictions, and it came with laws and legislation and limits that must be abided by. It came with justice and fair balance. And whoever is right, it said he's right, no matter what his race is, no matter what his tribe is, no matter what his status in society is. If he's right, he said he's right. If he's correct, he said he's correct. If he's wrong, he said he's wrong. It doesn't matter if he's old or if he's young, if he's white, if he's black. It doesn't matter if he's wealthy, if he's poor, and the likes like this. So the point is that the people of the Sunnah, and that which has come with regards to the legislation about Islam, is everyone he is put in his proper position. The one who is right, it's mentioned that he's right. And the one who is wrong, it's mentioned that he's wrong. And the one who has the right, it's mentioned that the right is for him. And the one who owes the right, it's mentioned that he owes the right. And the means to determine these affairs is by the legislation and the law that is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah. وَإِذَا تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. So whenever you have disputes, then you refer back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the manner to solve these affairs. Not look about, he's from my tribe or he's from that tribe, or he is this color, he is that color, or he's rich or he's poor, or he is this member in society or is that member of society, or he's from this tribe or this area or this neighborhood. All of this right here doesn't have any weight with regards to disputes. So whenever the names are mentioned like this, being misused in this man, Ya al-Muhajirin, without looking about whether who is right or who is wrong, it's mentioned that they had a dispute, and then one of them, he kicked the other one in the backside. And after this, it got become very hot. So then, and this is whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out. So the issue now is to find out who did wrong, not to call this one and that one to defend each other based upon he's from this group or he's from that group. Rather, once Al-Islam has come and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spread the religion and established that, then now the believers, they're all one. Now the believers, they're all one. So one will, he will not call by this group or by that group. Rather, they're all Muslims. They're all Muslims. So they all have the same law and the same right. And they all have the same manner that they take care of their business. They all have the same manner that they take care of their business. And that is to refer it back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The narration continues that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned after this, he said, وَانْصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. And aid your brother, whether he is oppressed or whether he is the oppressor. aid your brother, and he help him and aid him, whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. And it's mentioned that they used to have this statement in the time of Jahiliyyah, but they used it in the wrong way. And they intended it literally. Help your brother and aid him, whether he is oppressing or oppressed. Meaning, whether he's right or wrong, you assist him, and you aid him, and you defend him, and you support him. Like this, that's how they used to understand it in the days of Jahiliyyah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified the proper meaning. Unsur akhaka zaliman aw madhluma. Aid and help your brother, whether he is oppressing or being oppressed. So some of the companions, they mentioned, we see O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to assist him, how to help him if he's being oppressed. You need to stop the oppressor from oppressing him. But how do we help him if he is the oppressor? If he is the one doing the injustice, and if he is the one who is doing the wrong, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خذ بيده وامنعه وانهاه. In some narrations like this, taking by the hand and stop him. Some word, خذ من فوق يده. يعني take from above his hand, meaning force him, meaning stop him by force. The people of knowledge, they mentioned first, the way to do that, if he's being oppressed, then no doubt to aid him and to help him and to defend him. To aid him and to help him and to defend him. But if he himself is oppressing, if a Muslim is oppressing, then in order to help him, one will prohibit him by advising him in a good manner. By first advising him in a good manner. If there is a brother or a sister who is oppressing others, and we're aware of that, it's incumbent for us to help him. It's incumbent for us to aid him. How do we aid him? By going to him and reminding him to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. By going here to him and reminding him of the rights that Allah has given to his creation and to his people. And that taking the rights of the people is a major affair. وَالظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And that oppression is darkness, is levels of darkness on the day of resurrection. And reminding him of the affairs of standing before Allah and the likes like this. And do it with a good intention and a noble manner. And if he accepts and he desists from his oppression, alhamdulillah. And if not, then he will be forced. If not, then they will take him by his hand and stop him. They will take him by his hand and they will stop him like this. But it will not begin like that. That's the point. If somebody is working wrong, he will be advised. And he will be talked to in a good manner. And if he desists, alhamdulillah. And if not, then the proper authorities will be informed and he will be stopped. He will be stopped physically. And this is in reality aiding him and helping him. Because the one who's being oppressed, this is clear, to help him and to aid him and to remove the oppression from him, to take him out of that state of belittlement and that state of oppression and injustice. And as for the one who is oppressing, he's doing an injustice to his own soul. He's doing an injustice to his own soul by oppressing others. And by taking the rights of others, he's only oppressing his own soul. He's only putting himself and his own soul in danger and in the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the threat of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal by oppressing others and taking the rights of others. He is oppressing his own soul. We understand that? So to stop him from that is helping him. To prohibit him from that is aiding him and supporting him and doing good for him. It's an action of mercy and kindness. Because if he continues upon that way and he dies upon that sin, then he will be held accountable for that. So to stop him from that, and to call him to repent from that, this is the true mercy and the true manner to help the believer, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, Babu nahi an ash-shafa'ati fil hudud, the chapter with regards to the prohibition of making intercession with regards to the legal laws and punishments. The chapter with regards to making intercession on behalf of somebody else, any to stop the legal law and the legal punishment from being applied to them whenever it's deserved. Whenever it is deserved. Inshallah, we take this chapter and the next class. If anyone has any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them now with regards to that which has proceeded. With regards to that which has proceeded. No? We see from the da'wah al-jahiliyyah that they call al-muhajir. He used the legislative terms. So although this is a beautiful term, if it's misused, it can be banned. And we find that happening today. We find the likes of that happening today. Legislative terms, beautiful names and slogans. Beautiful names and slogans. Salafiyyah. Salafiyyah this, Salafiyyah that. Sunnah. An-Nabawiyyah this. Sunnah. As-Sunnah. These are beautiful terms. And the likes like this. And many people, they're misusing them. They're misusing them for personal gains and personal any benefits. And in reality, it's a foul way. So to beware of that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.